The American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The population of Swannanoa, North Carolina, goes up for a few weeks each summer as swarms of folk art lovers descend on the tiny town outside of Asheville. They come for the Swannanoa Gathering. It's a five-week summer program held on the campus of Warren Wilson College that offers intensive instruction on traditional songwriting and instruments. But along with the work, there's plenty of play. Jam sessions, concerts, open mic nights accompany the classes and workshops, and you're likely to have a celebrity sighting as well. The Swannanoa Gathering regularly draws appearances by folk icons like Janice Ian, Tom Paxton, Patti Larkin, and Kathy Mattea. Jim McGill couldn't have imagined how big the Swannanoa Gathering would become. He served as the event's director since the first gathering in 1991. 93 people showed up then. More than 1,000 gathered this year. The 20th Swannanoa Gathering wraps up this weekend, and Director Jim McGill is here to talk about how this landmark anniversary year went. Jim, welcome to State of Things.
Thank you, Frank.
Been a big year and an amazing year for the gathering. Tell us what happens. What do you get when you sign up for the Swannanoa Gathering?
Well, what folks do is they arrive here on Sunday of whatever week it is, check into their rooms. We have a little orientation session, and then there are jam sessions that evening in the various tents that we set up, as well as our dance hall, and we have an outdoor pavilion as well. And then Monday through Friday, there are classes that are an hour and 15 minutes long. Depending on the week, there may be as many as four class periods a day. And then in the evenings, depending on the week, it could be a dance or it could be a concert featuring staff, you know, a variety of things in the evening. And late night jamming, of course, goes on until the wee hours every week.
This event was the brainchild of Doug Orr, a former president of Warren Wilson. What was the impetus behind the gathering?
Well, Doug had attended similar workshops in West Virginia, and when he was made president here, he called me up one day and took me to lunch, and we had a chat about it. And this is something that he'd always wanted to do if he had the opportunity to run some folk music workshops like this. So we sketched out the plan for it. He said he wanted to call it the Swannanoa Gathering and asked me if I was interested in running it. And as I like to say, from that conversation, I became that rarest of all creatures, a folk musician with a pension plan and health insurance.
And a plan. And the plan was to create this gathering. Now, you had 93 people show up for the first one. How did you feel after that? Was that okay with you? Were you kind of, was it enough? And did you have to reconsider?
Well, considering the fact that our initial conversation was just after Thanksgiving, and he said, now I want to start this in July. You know, that was only 7 months to basically create a program out of nothing and then advertise it internationally, get our publications in place, get our catalog together. You know, everything was done the fastest possible way, which meant the most expensive possible way.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Were you okay with that afterward? And you say, hey, maybe we can't go forward with this. Good idea.
Fortunately, Doug had gotten a presidential leadership grant from the Knight Foundation and had earmarked a big chunk of it as startup for us. So that first year, it was small. And Doug has said that first year we were basically giving private tutorials to the few folks that showed up. But at the end of it, he called me into his office that next fall and said, well, what do you think? You still got fire in the belly for this? And I said, yeah, I think so. He said, okay, well, it's not grant money anymore. It's college money. So let's see if we can't make this work. And that second year, we were able to break even. And then the third year, started to do a little better. And then the fourth year, it really turned the corner. And we've been doing just great ever since. We've had 19 out of 20 years of growth.
Wow, that's fantastic. And the gathering has drawn many talented artists as well. Each summer, you honor the work of an accomplished musician or musicians with the Master Music Maker Awards. Tell us about this year's recipient, Ralph Blizzard.
Well, actually, Ralph Blizzard was our first recipient. And we make the awards when it feels appropriate. It's not necessarily an annual thing. But that very first time that we gave out those awards was in our fifth year, when, you know, at that point we felt like we were going to be around for a while. And the first recipients were Ralph Blizzard, the great East Tennessee fiddler, and Tom Paxton, who is actually a fellow that I had met when I was 18 years old and a sophomore, or I guess freshman at UNC in Chapel Hill. They had a big folk festival, and I'd been a fan of his for years, and I got to be his gopher, you know, taking him to his hotel and showing him around and so forth and singing my songs for him. So Tom and I go way, way back. Ralph Blizzard has been a great friend of the Gathering since our inception, and he passed on a few years ago. But he was the model for our catalogs for the first 3 years, and he played in a unique old-time style. It's called the longbow style, meaning that he would play several notes with one bow stroke. A lot of old-time musicians will play with short rhythmic bow strokes, but he would play a whole passage all on one stroke, and it made his sound unique in old-time music.
Well, let's get a little sample of that. This is Ralph Blizzard with a song called When I Get Home.
Gonna have a little talk with Ruth and with Naomi. Have a little talk with Peter, James, and John. Want to sit down and talk a little while with Dad and Mother. Sing my song with the angels first of all.
Here we go. Ralph Blizzard, When I Get Home. He was the first recipient of the Master Music Maker Award for the Swannanoa Gathering. There have been 19 since. This is the 20th year. You mentioned Tom Paxton. And you know what I want to do right now, Jim, is play a little bit of Tom Paxton to show the breadth of music that is part of this folk art tradition.
Mm-hmm. You've got reasons aplenty for going. This I know. This I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go. Please don't.
Tom Paxton, The Last Thing on My Mind, has become closely associated with the Gathering. Tell us how he became first involved.
Well, as I said, Tom was someone I met as a teenager and was completely dazzled by. And I remember he was kind enough to take a cassette tape, for those who remember what those are, of my songs home with him, and I never expected to hear anything from him again. But a week or two later, I got a package in the mail, and it was my cassette that had been returned to me along with about 3 pages of critiques on my songs, which I was just amazed that that somebody like Tom would take the time to do that. So I knew that he had an interest in nurturing younger singers. So when we started our Contemporary Folk Week, which sort of focuses on singer-songwriters, he was kind of a logical choice of somebody to bring in as part of the older generation, or perhaps the first generation of singer-songwriters, I guess, when you think about it, as a commercial form. Singer-songwriters began, I guess, with the folk revival in the 60s, but he was one of the first of that era. So we invited him to come out, and he'd never taught a week-long workshop before and was very nervous about it. And, of course, he did brilliantly. Everybody was just amazed by him. And he came back and did several week-long things with us in the intervening years. This year he was just here as a guest. He came here just for a couple of days and did a special presentation the entire camp could attend. And you know, Janice Ian was singing harmony with him. It was a pretty amazing event for all of us.
Well, and he and Janice Ian and the others would be the first to acknowledge their debt to some of those older musicians and the very old tradition that comes out of the hills.
Absolutely. This is not something that they invented out of whole cloth. I mean, we're all standing on the shoulders of giants. We're just fortunate that this year we had two of those giants on our staff.
So you're a musician yourself, as you mentioned, former professor of songwriting, and you coordinate the Celtic Music Week.
I do. Yeah, that's my area of expertise. I was in a duo based in Chapel Hill back in the old days, I guess, in the late 70s, a group called Hot Shandy. My partner and I played about 100 colleges a year. We were one of the house bands at Sloppy Joe's in Key West every winter, and we did a mixture of Celtic and bluegrass and musical comedy kind of thing. So The Celtic music has always been something that I personally have been involved with, and I also coordinate the big Celtic shows that come through Asheville to the Diana Wortham Theater, a big arts and entertainment complex downtown. And my son Andrew is now a professional Irish musician as well. He's a great fiddler. He's on tour in Canada with a Scottish band at the moment.
Wow. Did you ever play the brewery?
The brewery. No, it may have come after me. The places that we would play in Chapel Hill were places like the Cave and the Cat's
yeah.
Cradle.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Let me ask you this. And what I'd like to do now is play one of your songs, an original song called "Where the Hieland Thistle Grows."
Wow. Okay.
When the mist lies in the valley on a chilly autumn morn, the cabin fills with memories of the glen where I was born. I see my father's kindly face, myself a girl so gay, where the Hieland thistle grows so many years and miles away. My name is Molly Fraser, though a Campbell I was born. Among the dewy dense of brave Argyll I did roam. The sun shone on the heather, my days were filled with joy, until the landlord's agents did our happy home destroy.
Jim McGill and Hod Shandy with "Where the Hieland Thistle Grows." Now, there's a Celtic song, but it's an original song in that tradition, and you teach this. So what are we listening for in that song? How do you teach the structure of this music?
Oh, gee. Well, you know, the course I would teach was 8 weeks long, and we only have a few minutes here. How can I begin? Well, in that particular case, what I was trying to write was something that sounded like it could have been a couple hundred years old. Mm. So there are ways that you break a sentence apart and put a phrase, like that last line, until the landlord's agents did our happy home destroy. And I mean, that's not the way you would say that, but it's the way you would hear it sung in an old ballad. Hmm. So
the first thing you do is you just take
a... Of course, the subject matter is 19th century, and, you know, it's a song about an old woman reflecting back on her life here in the Appalachians, you know, born in Scotland, coming to the United States, and about the life she finds here. So there are things that you can do to make it sound archaic, and basically it's me mimicking all the old ballads that I've learned in
you
my
just
career.
Take normal sentences and write them backwards. That's a start. Turn Highland to Hieland, and you've got yourself a Celtic song. Is that what you... Well, it's a wonderful song, and it's a great tradition, and it is something, you know, to be thoughtful about when you try to recreate that tradition. But then I guess the point is to imbue in young singer-songwriters a sense of their own ownership and agency over this music and to move it forward, make it their own.
Yes, absolutely. And I mentioned earlier about how, you know, we all stand upon the shoulders of giants. I think it's especially important for the students who come here during that contemporary folk week who do have some sort of career aspirations as singer-songwriters to be exposed to people like Janice Ian and Tom Paxton, you know, to for no other reason to let them know that, you know, these songs, they're not inventing them ex nihilo, you know.
Right.
I mean,
right.
there are people that came before them that they need to acknowledge their debt to.
And we got out of the mountains and off to the islands of Hawaii. Patrick Lendeza plays slack key guitar. Tell us about him.
Oh, Patrick is really the soul of Guitar Week. I mean, he is just so filled with the spirit of aloha. You know, it is not at all a cliche with him. He gets everybody involved with it, and, you know, he calls it swan aloha.
That's perfect. Well, we should hear some of his music, shall we? Let's play a little bit of it right here.
Sure.
Hano hano, valena cowboy, e maku noho I kalio. Halena pono oe I ke kalaili, I ka lau ka pipiahi.
There we go. Patrick Landeza, that is called Kila Kila na Rough Riders.
Right. So. Yeah. Now, slack key is a wonderful form of a style of guitar playing that developed in Hawaii. The guitar was introduced to Hawaii by South American cowboys, basically, who were brought in, you know, to herd cattle, and they brought their Spanish guitars with them, and the local Hawaiians were captivated by the guitar, and then they started experimenting with it, and they would tune some of the strings down, or in other words, they would make them slack, and that's where you get the slack key phrase.
It's not like the dobro. You don't have to play it on your knees or anything.
No, you play it the normal way, but usually it's tuned to an open chord, like an open G or D or C or something like that.
We talked about the number of social events as well around the workshops. Tell us about the sights and sounds outside of the classroom.
Well, we're blessed here with the campus of Warren Wilson College. We're in the Swannanoa Valley. From where I'm sitting right now, I'm looking north, and about 30 miles away is the biggest mountain east of the Mississippi, Mount Mitchell. We have in the summertime, the climate is, well, I mean, it's hot like most of the state, but it cools off in the evenings, and it's cool in the mornings. I mean, you know, you really get the benefit of the higher elevation here, and it's just gorgeous. You can look across our formal gardens to the Craggy Mountain Range of the Southern Appalachians. It's a fairly compact campus, and we have four big tents that we set up where people can jam in. There's also a wooden-floored dance hall called Bryson Gym, and we have an outdoor pavilion. Everything is within sight of each other at night with the lights lit up and the different jam sessions all over the place. It's really an incredible experience to walk from one jam to another. Everybody's playing different things. And we have a refreshment tent where people can, you know, get drinks and late-night snacks and such. And it just, you know, it's really magical. And since we run for 5 weeks, last year we were really blessed that we had a full moon in the first week, so we got two full moons.
Well, and it seems to me that word gathering is inspired as well. We talked about the traditions that are honored and then the hope that this tradition has moved forward and the creativity of the young artist. And it is precisely that community that fuses those two and sends those young artists forward, isn't it? Isn't it about being together?
It absolutely is. You know, that's what I tell people at orientation when we discuss jamming, you know, etiquette for that. That, you know, some people, it may be a new thing for them to be in a group playing with other folks. And I said, now keep in mind now that's the reason you come here, is to meet all these people. You're going to meet people here that become lifelong friends, sometimes musical partners, sometimes life partners. We've had people get married here. We had a marriage in the garden one time, where the fiddlers and the flute players all held their instruments up to make an arch for the bride and groom to walk under, and that happened during the gathering right here on campus.
So, what's next? The next 20 years? What's your vision?
20 years from now, I hope to be long retired
and actually taking advantage of that pension that you.
Yeah, no, I'm planning on being here for quite some time, but maybe not 20 years. We're looking forward to the next. I have some things that I'm still cooking that I'm not really at liberty to discuss yet, but I've got some plans for some possible new programs in the future and maybe some rearranging. But basically, we just want to keep nurturing all of the people that come here, and especially the young folks. We have a youth scholarship program, which we really haven't talked about too much, but that is something that is funded by donations from the key deposits that our guests have to leave at the end of the week. If they just want to leave them, it goes to our youth scholarship fund, and in any given year, we fund anywhere from 15 to, well, this year, 28 youth scholars, all who get to come here at no cost,
Jim,
funded by donations.
Real pleasure to talk with you. Congratulations on 20 years. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Jim McGill, director of the Swannanoa Gathering, wraps up 20th anniversary year at Warren Wilson College. For more information, go to swangathering.com. Mary Johnson Rockers rocks the studio next. Stay tuned.